Welcome to Home Downtown Podcast. We hope these messages inspire you to live a life of creativity, love, and faith.
Yeah, can we just honor Pastor Brooke right now? Come on. Hey, is it okay if I preach in this hoodie? Okay. This is so low. No, this is not a Kanye hoodie. I am balling on a budget, my brother. Okay, so hey, if you have your Bible, just crack it open to Matthew real quick. I just want to get you prepared. Matthew chapter 16. So the title of tonight's message is All My Hope, and you'll figure that out later, but I just wanted to introduce it to you. And also before we start, I want to publicly just thank everyone in this place right now. Just thank you so much. And the reason for that is because our generation, it's really stinking hard to get out. Like, it's kind of terrifying, and it's difficult to say no to other things and be here instead. I think it's hard to even go to church, and you can just watch church online. You know what I mean? Like, we could all just be watching other churches on YouTube and stuff. I just want to publicly thank you, because what God is doing here, again, I believe is an epicenter for what's going to happen in the city of Colorado Springs. And so it's so important for us to be in a physical space with each other. It's so important for us to be around one another, to spur each other on. Listen, as iron sharpens iron, right? Like, if we're not together, we're dull. And so I just want to thank you for being here. I know you had to say no to other things. I know some of y'all got off a long day of work. But just so you know, the leaders of Home Downtown, Abby, Brooke and I, Ross, Adam, Rebecca, we feel a deep level of responsibility for you. We feel a deep level of love for you. And for us, it's a real thing. Like, it's not like we just do this for fun, because it really ain't that fun most of the time. People get to publicly look at our life and think whatever they want to, you know? But we feel a level of love for you that we haven't felt for another group of people before. And so if you're in this place and you're wondering, can I be a part of this? Is this for me? Stop thinking that way. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want you here. Like, what the heck, you know? I believed that kind of stuff too before. And I just want to tell you that right now you're in the right place. And so even if you look around, everyone looks kind of weird. I understand. And it's okay. So let me just pray for us before we start. Will you just agree with me? So, Father, right now, I just thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and what you've done. I ask that tonight, everything that I speak, whatever we say, whatever we do, Father, would be in step with the Spirit of God. We would submit to you. We would honor you. Father, teach us how to honor one another. We want to change this city from the inside out. So, Father, change us from the inside out first. We love you. Everybody said, amen. Everybody said,
amen.
All right, so I want to just tell you something that's going on in my personal life. So how many of y'all know we have some kids? Anybody know that? Okay. Some of you guys don't, so I'll explain. When you fall in love, no, I'm just kidding. That was my wife, by the way, that gave the announcements. But so we have a four-year-old and a two-year-old. Our four-year-old's name is Park, P-A-R-K-E. It's not Parquet, and it's not Parker, and we forgot the R. It's Park. We can talk about it after service if you want. But he just joined soccer, holla. So you already know we about to invite all y'all to the games and just go crazy, annoy the other team. We're thinking about making some shirts. Jordan and Sean, who I don't think are here tonight, they have a four-year-old daughter named Callie, and so she's on the team as well. So it's so funny because we're like rooting for them and stuff and watching it together, and it's exciting. But it's funny because I think now we have to buy a minivan and get a stick figure family bumper sticker. I think that's something that you have to do. And so, but what's really funny is that the last time we had a minivan, it was stolen. Anyone remember that story? So we might not know how to do that anymore. But anyway, so watching Park at these practices was so cute. Like, he's four, he doesn't know anything. Like, he's never played sports. And so he's running around, and there's this coach, and he's really nice. And the coach was doing this thing where he was having the students, having, what are they called? Players. Obviously, I'm very athletic. he was having the players, students, having the players race each other. And so We were sitting on the sidelines. She's like, just race to the goal. And I'm watching Park, and my boy, he was the fastest kid on the team. So that was great. It was funny because we were watching him, and there's this guy, this little kid, he's racing, and Park's like looking at him, and every time the kid started to speed up, Park would kind of speed up too. Like, he was just like in control. Like, he was just like, okay, okay. At one point, he even turned around and went like backwards, and I was like, Park, what are you doing? That's just ridicule. But a little bit, you know, I was kind of like, good job, you know, keep it up. But and then they switched to another exercise. This one not so good for us. They said, all right, kids, line up. Here's the ball. And go and kick it in the goal. Simple stuff. Simple stuff. But again, he's four. And so Park goes and he's kicking the ball. And let's just say the goal is like this thing, okay? So he's kicking the ball. He gets there and the ball kind of rolls right here. And he like looks around and he goes with his hand and he goes, bah! And he just smacks it in. And he keeps doing it over and over. And we're like, Park, no, kick it. And he's like it was like an old college friend. He hadn't seen him from like, high five, buddy. He's just like, yeah. And he smacks the ball in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. And obviously he's 4 years old. Like, it doesn't really matter. But does it? But anyway, he would get so close, looking like a mini Ronaldo. And then everything just came crashing down. And Brooke and I are on the sidelines, and like, everyone is laughing. Like, we're having a great time, you know, because they're kids. But it's funny, like, when they were making the mistakes, like, I was kind of like, you know, I wasn't really freaking out, but I was kind of like, oh, you know better than that. Come on, man. But, you know, it made me think, like, when I was growing up and playing sports, and I've since retired, but playing sports, I remember at every game, every practice, whenever my parents were there, whenever I did something wrong or made a mistake, I would always check to see my dad's reaction. And I was always hoping that he didn't see. You know, there were times in basketball growing up where I would, like, miss an open layup, and I, you know, you're walking back on defense, and you kind of, like, look to see if your dad's looking, and he's, like, just sitting over there. And all these things kind of go into your head, like, oh, my gosh, like, he's embarrassed of me. He's upset with me. Or maybe for you it was a mom or a mentor or something or whatever it was. I think we can relate to this, you know. Maybe if for you it was in school, like you failed a test and you were so afraid to bring it back to your mom and dad and say, this is my grade. Maybe you're currently in college and your parents are paying for it. And you're afraid to tell your mom and dad, like, hey, I'm not doing that great. But also when I did something right, I would also look to my dad to see his reaction, you know? Like, when I actually would get an open layup, like I should, I would look and be like, I hope he saw that. Like, I remember being a kid like, Dad, did you see that? And it almost felt like he never saw the things that I did that were good, but he always noticed the things I did that were a mistake. And see, I think all of us, although older, maybe not playing sports, are still afraid to look to our Father when we make a mistake. Or maybe when you do something right, like you tithe, or you give money to a homeless person, or you show up to church, or whatever it is, you're like, God, did you see that? Did you notice me? Did you see what I just did? And it's like a spiritual stress. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And in this pursuit of approval, we put all of our hope in us. We put all of our hope, like, Jordan, can you behave well enough? Can you achieve good things to get the attention of God? Like, you made a mistake, like, you better not look, because you know he's disappointed. And there was even times in the beginning of Home Downtown 2 years ago where there'd be like, you know, like 50 people, and I'd be like afraid to talk to God because I felt like what we had done was not enough for him to be happy with us. And even now it's like, God, there's 100 people here. Like, do you see me now? Do you notice me now? Do I have your attention? Dad, did you see that? And there's this deep inner sense of like, I can't do it. Like, I can't keep my grades up enough. I should drop out. Mom and dad, you shouldn't pay for this. Like, hey, boss, like, I can't perform well enough. I don't think I should be here. And maybe you're in church right now and you're thinking, I'm not spiritual enough, I should leave. And we place all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our plans are in our own strength. And we keep failing, but yet we keep thinking that it'll eventually work out. Maybe you're someone who struggles with the right behavior. Like you want to behave so well so that it will be easy for God to love you. Like maybe you don't even really make that many mistakes. Like maybe you're doing pretty good compared to who you used to be. But then now, everything inside of you is like, behave. Make it easy for God to love you. Don't make it a pain. Don't bother him. Don't bother him. I remember growing up and asking my dad to shoot hoops with me, and he would shoot hoops every now and then, but then there was times where he would only play for like 5 minutes, and I felt like, man, it's because I didn't make enough baskets. Like he doesn't, like it's not fun for him. And so there was times when we lived in Spokane, Washington, I would shoot on the driveway for 6 hours. And my parents thought I just loved basketball. Well, really, I just wanted my dad to approve of me. I wanted to be known as a good player. We want to behave well enough so that it's easy for God to love us. Or we can't behave well enough, and so we never look to him. And here's what the Lord spoke to me this week. I was upstairs in our office space, and I was sitting there, and I was just thinking and praying, and you know, sometimes it's like, man, how do you plan something for people that you don't walk with daily? You know what I mean? Like, we have community groups, and we try to get with y'all, but like, the true reality is like, I don't want to bring something that's not from God. Duh. What I want to bring is something that will touch each person's heart, because again, we deeply love you. And because we love you, we want you to get closer to Jesus. And because we want you to get closer to Jesus, we are willing to remove any roadblock that is there. And so I want to preach messages that remove roadblocks. You can go to any church and get something from the Bible. Also, you can read the Bible by yourself. But what we want to do here is remove roadblocks for you. And so tonight we're going to do that. And what the Lord spoke to me for something that most of us believe, saved or unsaved, some of y'all don't know what you believe yet, but you probably believe this. Where most of us place our hope in the deep, dark place of our hearts, we might never admit to this, but we might struggle with it daily, is that A plus B equals C. If you're taking notes, I would write this down. That A plus B equals C. That achievements plus behavior equals Christ. If I can achieve enough to be noticed, if I can behave well enough to be loved, then I will receive Christ. Someone would ask you, oh, does God love you? Oh, you would say, yes. God loves me. He died for me. But do you really believe that? You know, in the beginning when we started this thing, I don't really think I knew what it was. I don't really think I believed that. I felt like I was God's only hope. And in this last year, the Lord has been really touching my heart and moving on me and in Brooke and I's marriage and our family with our kids. And I can finally now sit inside this service and actually worship God. But some of us, we would never be able to admit this. But at the same time, we cannot come to the altar because we feel shame like a strong hand holding us back from movement. We feel so weak. It's like there's shackles on our ankles. It's like, oh, I want to go up and I want to be free, but I can't achieve and I don't behave well enough to get there. That's for the spiritual people. That's for the healthy people. That's for the ones that their mom and dad love Jesus. It's like there's like a strong grip on your back. I just feel like some of y'all have been feeling this way. Like there's a weight that you have to carry and you know you're not strong enough. But tonight, I'm here to tell you right now, every chain has been broken. Every shackle has been released. I want you to know something. If you don't know God, you're about to. What Jesus did is when he died, up with him came your purpose. Up with him came your value. Up with him came you. You thought you had died, but listen, you're sitting in here and you may feel like this weight and this shame. That ain't from God. That ain't from Jesus. That's from the enemy. That's from you. You have stepped into that. And tonight, it's time for you to step out of that. And listen, when you step out, all of us, all of our hands are reached out to you like, hey, we are here for you. I'm not doing this for financial gain, popularity. There was a time where I thought, maybe this would be good for me. I realized it ain't going to happen. There's too many churches, and I'm not the right guy for the job. Praise God. Listen, it's no longer you that lives. It is him that lives in you. We're going to get to it, y'all. Fred. I need that. Thank you, brother. You guys know Ross? If you don't know him, you got to meet him. If you need encouragement, just go to him. He crazy, though. Yeah, make some noise for Ross. He doesn't like it. Let's just do it. Come on. And there was a space in Matthew 16. Y'all got your Bibles ready? Okay. Matthew 16. Let's go there right now. Matthew 16, chapter 13, or chapter 16, verse 13. Let me give you a little context. So what Jesus is doing is he's asking the disciples who people around them, who the people of the town were saying was the chosen one. Who was the Messiah? Who was the Son of Man, as they called it? And see, the Old Testament spoke of a Savior. The Torah spoke of a Savior, but they hadn't seen one yet. They weren't sure. And so Jesus asked his crew, his disciples, says, hey, what are they saying? Like, who do they think it is? So let's read chapter 16, verse 13 through 16 for now. Let me flip my page. This is what it says. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, some think he is John the Baptizer. Some say Elijah. Some Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Jesus pressed them, how about you? Who do you say I am? Again, if you're taking notes, that's a good place for you to go back to tonight. Who do you say I am? Let's read verse 16. Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I want to stop right there. So listen, every Thursday, every day, every service, you're being asked a question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And Simon Peter, one of the disciples, he comes back and he boldly proclaims who he believes Jesus to be. And so if you're afraid to say it, just let it out. You're about to see why here in a second. Let's look at this. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell may be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. And so we see here that all Peter needed to know, all Peter needed to do was know who Jesus was. He says, you're the Savior. You're the Messiah, Jesus. It's all you. And in return, Jesus tells Peter, you have the keys to my house. What I have, it's yours now. Pure joy. The kingdom is full of pure joy, strength, peace. Things that we've been looking for on the outside. But Jesus is here to say to us tonight that he wants to actually do those things on the inside of us. A couple of weeks ago, I know some of y'all were here. I said the power of God doesn't come from the outside, from lights or smoke or friends. It comes from the inside of the inner workings of what Jesus is doing. Ephesians 3:20, we got it tatted on our necks. He who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the work within us. And so if you're searching for the power of God in a service, you ain't going to find it. If you're hoping that what I can bring to you is enough to revive your soul, I ain't going to preach it to you. It's all about Jesus. All of my hope, all of my strength, all of my security, my passion, my purpose, it's all wrapped up in this man named Jesus. And I used to think that I could get it from other people, from a platform. And it never came because it doesn't exist there. All Simon Peter needed to know was who Jesus was. All you need is who Jesus is. See, when you know who Jesus is, you can actually put all your hope in him. Some of y'all haven't been able to put your hope in Jesus because you don't know who he is yet. You only know who your mama told him that he was. You only know who the church pastor that hurt you told you that he was. You only know what the cool church podcast told you. You only know what a worship song told you, but you don't know who Jesus is because you never went to him yourself. There's so many ways to talk about God, to listen to the scripture, but there's nothing like meeting Jesus. So when you know Jesus, it's actually possible to put all your hope in him. Not in what you have done or what you can do, but what he has done for you. See, at this time, Jesus hadn't died and resurrected yet. So Simon Peter is making a bold claim. He's like, I believe it's you. Some people may disagree. They might say, hey, it's stupid to hope in Jesus. It's dumb to hope in the church. It's dumb to believe in that. I mean, I hear that stuff all the time. There was a time where I had a job at a coffee shop in town, and one of my managers would just talk stuff about Christians all day. And I was like, man, like, I'm afraid to tell you what I do on the side, brother. It's like, where do you work? You know, because I know you're part-time. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I don't want to say nothing to you. Can I just be real with y'all? Like, you're not so spiritual. Well, listen, it was scary. He was mean. But I did tell him. I said, yeah, I work at a church. And he was like, okay. And we never talked about it again, and I don't work there anymore. God bless him. The Lord rescued me. But it was good. You know what? I think I worked really hard. I think I was a man of character in that job, and so I'm praying that one day he'll be up in here worshiping with us. And I'm going to go up there someday and say what's up to him. And yeah, he was never mean to me because I mean, he's my boss. I'll do whatever you say, master. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. All right. So, listen, tonight, what we're really trying to do, I'm not trying to make a nice podcast and sound good and, you know, get all sweaty and excited so you can think that I'm a good man. We're not trying to impress you with the things that we've built here. We're not trying to impress you with the way that our worship team sounds or whatever, whatever. All I'm trying to do is remove roadblocks from your life so that you can be free. And so this first part that we just went through, well, for some of y'all that need to know what he did, but the rest of us might need to know why he did it. Because listen, when you serve the Lord for X amount of years, however long, whatever, it is easy to fall into a place of, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that summer camp where you met God, or maybe you met him on the streets, or somebody prayed with you, or you found a Bible somewhere. Like, it's exciting. Like, it does feel like everything is released off of you. Like, you're like, man, I'm free now. But, you know, sometimes we kind of go back to where we were, and we kind of go, we latch ourselves up in chains again, and we say, this was better, this was easier for me. We put them back on, and then, yeah, we go to church, but there's an altar call, and we know it's for us, but we can't go because there's that strong hand of shame holding us back. Because we've made mistakes, and we don't look to the Father because we're afraid of his reaction. Some of us have told ourselves, like, you don't know how to behave, so you don't belong. One of the things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to break tonight for you is that many of us, maybe we grew up in this type of church where this was preached to us, or maybe we made it up ourselves, is that we think that Jesus came out of pity for us. Like, man, you were so dirty. You were such a waste of life. You were such a terrible person that he's like, man, I just give in out of pity. And, you know, there may be, like, certain elements to that. I'm not a theologian, but I don't think that it was all for pity. I want to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 for you real quick, and it reads this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, it was not because of pity that he came and set you free. It was not because of pity that he released you from drugs and alcohol. It was not because of pity that he hung on a cross for you. It was not because of pity, it was because of purpose. And your purpose is to be close to Jesus. And in closeness to Jesus, you have everything that you need. You won't be searching high and low for value. You know that you are living and walking value. People are going to come to you to find out what they are. It was for the joy set before him. Listen, while Jesus was being punched in the face, while his beard was being ripped out, while his skin was being split open for you, man. Father, let us never forget. Father, let us never forget what you've done. While they ridiculed him, and they threw fecal matter on him, and they bruised his face and his abdomen, and they cut him open, he was thinking, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, but my people can be close to me. It was for the joy set before him. He said, I'm thankful. This is my joy. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how much I love them. And we're sitting in here tonight and we think that we don't deserve it. Listen, you don't. That's why he did it. I don't want to play these stupid church games. I don't want to sing songs just because they're songs and we're supposed to do it. I'm about to cuss at y'all. I'm freaking mad up in here. Man, I don't know if that'd be allowed, but if we could, sometimes it would just be helpful. But listen, all he suffered for the joy that was set before him, and you are the joy. Purpose, closeness to Jesus. He wanted you close to him, and he said, this is worth it for me. He offered himself up. Because listen, you cannot achieve enough to be long into the kingdom. You can't achieve enough. And listen, you can't behave well enough to deserve it. You can't behave enough to deserve God's freedom and joy and love and acceptance. You can't. Some of y'all have been trying. Stop trying. And that's why he came. So that we could put our hope, not in our achievements, not in our behavior, but in him. Let's go back to Hebrews. It reads this again. The founder and perfecter of our faith. You are not the founder. You are not the perfecter of your faith. It is Jesus Christ. Yeah, come on. You know, it costs nothing to encourage somebody, and if you need to encourage anybody, it's me. I was up here like crying, like, so please, let it out. So Jesus came, and because you couldn't do it, he did it for you. And so he came so that you could have hope. Listen, we were hopeless before we met Jesus. It was not for pity that Jesus died. It was for purpose. And we all share the same purpose. Different avenues, same purpose. Closeness to Jesus Christ. And what I love about Home Downtown and the church in general is that you can have any color, any background, any ethnicity, all in unity. You know, we were upstairs praying for y'all before you got here. Our team, there was about 15 of us in there. And at the end of the prayer, we all put our hands in. It's kind of funny. I had to convince people to do it because it just feels good to me. But we put our hands in, we lifted our hands up and we said, all for one. You know, and I believe there's going to be a day when our community, and then this is your first time, this relates to you just the same as it does for me. Listen, don't separate yourself because of your schedule. I see in the future us, our community, walking through the city, and we're all walking together, and we're all different, dressed differently, from different places, different colors, different backgrounds, whatever. And we're all walking, and we have our hands up, and we say, all for one. All for one. All for Jesus. Listen, you don't got to change your personality to fit in to what Jesus is doing in the earth. You are what Jesus is doing in the earth. You are redemption. You want to know something beautiful? The resurrection happens every day that you choose to live in Jesus Christ. The resurrection is happening every single day. So I've been waking up early in the morning with my kids, and I feed them breakfast, and then I sit down and I open my Bible app, and I'm like, man, I'm resurrecting right now. There was a time when I thought that I was in the grave still. I thought, yeah, Jesus came up, but I didn't. Listen, I came up every single morning because what Jesus did was enough, and the resurrection is happening every single day. And here's the best part, that even though they beat Jesus up, they split his skin open, they hurt him, they ripped his beard out. Actually, let me tell you this. It's just beautiful. It's not going to help you with your spirituality. So the other day I was at the house, and Brooke was gone somewhere, and Park and I, again, our four-year-old son, our two-year-old was sleeping, and I'm talking to, actually was taking a shower, so it's kind of weird, but now it's too late. I already started. So Park comes in. I'm listening to worship music, and he said something. I don't remember what he said, but I was, like, singing Jesus or something, and he was like, yeah. He said something like, Jesus, like, Dad, Park, do you know who Jesus is? I was like, come on, sing with me. And he was like, yeah, Jesus. And I said, yeah. He's like, Jesus died. And I was like, yeah, but not for long. And he goes, yeah, 3 days. He looked at me, and he goes, yeah, 3 days. I said, frick yeah, brother. I'm like, get out of the shower. I'm like, did I do a little thing? No, we didn't do nothing. But I'm like, listen, y'all, like a four-year-old looked at me. He puffed out his little chest, and he said, yeah, Dad, 3 days. I'm walking out of the shower, like, wet all over the living room. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you forgot your towel, Dad. I'm like, oh, Jesus, Rosie. But listen, that's the best part about this thing. Is that he didn't just die. Because if he only died, we wouldn't even be here because it didn't work. But listen, not only did he die and bring all of your sin down with him, he rose up from the grave, and guess what? He brought you with him again. Come on! And so when you feel like, man, I'm dead, listen, you ain't dead, sucker. You alive in Christ. Man, if I could say it. No, just kidding. Listen, hey. So that's why I believe that when we come in here, I don't want to just spectate. I don't want to just spectate. What I want to do is celebrate. Because you, everyone in the whole place could think, man, Jordan is a POS. That guy is dumb. I don't like the way that he dresses or talks or looks or smells. I don't care. And listen, you don't have to care what anybody else thinks about you either. Because we're alive in Christ. That's all we need, player. We good to go. We good to go. Listen, you don't got to be afraid to raise your voice in worship. You don't got to be afraid to get up here right in the light where everybody going to see you and be like, God, I give you, I surrender all. Brooks on the video today. Some girls like, people are waiting for someone to come up and say, I surrender all. Listen, I'm going to surrender all every day because I am dead to sin, alive in Christ. And I did nothing to deserve it. It wasn't because of me. It was because of him. And every single day, the resurrection is happening again. And again and again and again. And I'm like, Father, thank you so much. Don't let me forget it. Man, you can come back up here. I don't want to go too long. I could be here till next month. We might as well quarantine ourselves. I mean, hey, online, I don't know, probably not. Because death is dead, so I don't got to be afraid of nothing. But we do have hand sanitizer for you, and we will have it for the next couple weeks. Listen, we're going to end here in a minute, but I want to tell you something. If you're waiting for your behavior to change to get close to Jesus, stop. If you're waiting to achieve what you think you need to get close to Jesus, quit. You know that equation that A plus B equals C? Achievements plus behavior equals Christ. I want y'all to know something. It's actually more like C equals A plus B. In Christ, I've achieved eternal life and joy and peace and patience and kindness and love. And in Christ, my behavior will actually begin to change. That is the whole purpose and reason and design for Jesus coming to die and resurrect, is so that your behavior doesn't separate you from him, it actually can bring you closer to him. When you think of your mistakes, when you think of your sin, when you think of your shortcomings, from now on, right now, everyone close your eyes. Let's just do it. Well, I'll talk about it, let's do it right now. I'm trying to play with myself like, Jordan, wait. No, let's do it. So right now, that little shame in you, that little sin in you, that little fear in you, that little insecurity, I want you to put it right in front of your face. It can be however you want it to look. It can be a version of yourself. Put it right in front of your face right now. Look at it. And now what I want you to do is realize, take a couple steps back. It is actually nailed to the cross still. And do you know why it's still there? Because it's not yours. You don't own that no more. That doesn't belong to you. Your sin and your shortcomings, it ain't on you no more. Quit picking it up. Quit running back to it. Because listen, you don't have to run from Jesus because you're dirty. You get to run to Jesus because you're dirty. In my own personal life, I've come to the conclusion that all I'm doing is behaving because Jesus loves me and belonging because Jesus loves me, and it's all because Jesus loves me. And all I'm doing now in my current season of life is being obedient. Because I realize that, man, when I'm obedient, I feel free. And so I made this pledge to myself that if there's a Thursday in the future where nobody shows up, it's just me and Brooke, where nobody shows up, but I heard the word of the Lord to share something, I promise to myself that I will preach to an empty room because that is obedience to God. If nobody sees me, if nobody hears me, if nobody knows me, if nobody loves me, if nobody cares for me, I'm gonna follow Jesus. That's on God. You gotta get like a little bit of like just puff your chest out like Park did, like, yeah, 3 days. You got to get a little attitude with it, because listen, it's yours. You don't got to pay for it anymore. So Father, right now, and I just thank you. I just thank you that we're not playing games, that we're not pretending to be good people, that we're not like just hoping that we can do the right thing. Father, I thank you that all of our hope can be placed in you, because you are trustworthy. You are patient. You are kind. You are loving. You are full of grace. It almost sounds like untrue. It's so good. Father, any part of my heart, any part of our hearts collectively that are holding back out of fear, Father, we just take off those chains right now. God, we put our feet up in the air and we say, Jesus, come take this off me. Come get it off. I don't want it no more. Father, I thank you that all of the things that we fail at, you see it as an opportunity for your strength to be shown off. In my weakness, God, you are strong. So when we're full of fear, help us to turn to you. And God, I ask for every single soul in the room to be ignited once again, like it was the first time, like it's the first date. Father, I know we can't live in that place. And there's going to be trials, and we're going to doubt, and we're going to be tested. But Father, I ask right now for this community, Lord, that you would bring what only you can bring. I know my words will be forgotten. I know these songs will be forgotten. But I know that what you can do is eternal. Can we stand together? Never been a week where I've planned an altar call, but we've done one, I think, every Thursday, and so I just believe it's the Lord every time. So here we are again. I want to do something for you. I want to give you an opportunity to shake off the chains, to remove the things, to go to Jesus, because I don't want to just talk. Again, we don't want to just spectate, like, wow, Jordan, that was a good thing you said. I don't care if it was a good thing. I want freedom for y'all. I want freedom for me. Y'all can go to any podcast and listen to a good word. I don't want good words. I want freedom. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, man, if you feel like, man, I'm tired of this stuff. Like, I want to really believe that God loves me. I want to really be free. I'm just going to open it up for you. And the reason that we do this is because the easiest thing to do is to use your body to agree with what your soul and your spirit are doing. You know, I remember the time when I had to raise my hands. I was like, man, I want to raise my hands and worship God, but I'm afraid that people behind me are going to see. And I remember I was like 15 years old. I gave it a shot, and I just felt this weight come off of me. And I'm not more spiritual, but because my hands are raised up, I'm not closer to Jesus because my hands are raised. But it helped me get out of that box of fear. So the only reason we do this is not more spiritual up here. It's just for you to make an actual chance, an actual choice to step out. Some of us be like, man, God, help me walk on water. But you know what? You got to walk out the boat. That was the first message I ever preached. That was my line. Brought it back. It didn't feel as good as I did the first time. But it's true. Just to take those steps, like give yourself a chance. So I'm just going to open it up right now. I'm just going to pray. So Father, we thank you again. We just have thankful hearts. God, we're grateful that what you can do, nobody else can do. Nothing else and no one else can do what you can do. So, Father, I ask for anybody in here who feels a little bit afraid, who maybe has the shakes or the stomach hurts because they know, like, oh, I want to be close. Father, right now, we break off any shame. We break off any fear. We break off any condemnation. There is none of that existing in this place. So it cannot be here. So we wave goodbye to it. So Father, would you make us a community of people who pursue you as you pursue us, who don't experience but engage,